In this bulletin, the Prime Minister defends his absence at the official ceremony marking the closure of the Uluru Climb. The federal government seeks political consensus on Indigenous constitutional recognition. And in tennis, Ashleigh Barty on track to end the year as world number one. This is NITV Radio News, and I'm Biwa Kwan. Prime Minister Scott Morrison has defended his decision not to attend the official ceremony marking the closure of the Uluru Climb. The ceremony also marked 34 years since the day when the land title to Uluru was handed back to traditional owners. Labor Senator Patrick Dodson told NITV Mr. Morrison's absence was insulting and disrespectful.
I would have thought that the Prime Minister should have been attending this occasion. I saw him at the basketball somewhere in Australia. I mean, this is bigger than basketball, and it's more significant. And if he had a real empathy with the religious and cultural foundations of the First Nations of this country, he should have been here. Obviously, the minister should have been here, but the Prime Minister should have been at this event.
But Mr. Morrison says he was supporting a telethon fundraiser for sick kids in Western Australia over the weekend and noted that the opposition leader was also absent.
You know, as a Prime Minister, you like to be in as many places as you can be, but you can't always be in those places, as I'm sure Mr. Albanese understands as well. But look, this is a significant sort of change up at Uluru. I think it's a timely one, and the tourism industry will, of course, adjust and move on, and I think we'll go from strength to strength.
Indigenous Affairs Minister Ken Wyatt has apologised to traditional owners for not attending the celebrations, saying he had commitments in his electorate over the weekend. And separately, Minister Wyatt says he wants to achieve political consensus on constitutional recognition and a voice to Parliament. Mr. Wyatt has asked Labor, One Nation, the Greens and independent politicians to join a new parliamentary working group on Indigenous issues. He's expected to outline plans for how an Indigenous voice to Parliament would work in the coming days. The Heart Foundation has announced it's opened a new round of funding for heart disease research. $14.4 million is being made available for research to help reduce the number of Australians who die from heart disease. Bill Stavresky from the Heart Foundation says previously funded projects have looked at reducing the number of Indigenous deaths from the disease, and it's hoped the latest round of funding can also contribute to that goal.
And unfortunately, heart disease still remains the single leading killer of Australians, and particularly for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, who are up to three times more likely to die from heart disease. Research into heart disease is really our greatest weapon into finding the new breakthroughs in knowledge, in treatment, in how to better diagnose and assess people who might be at risk of heart disease.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison has welcomed the death of IS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, who died in a US Special Forces operation in northwest Syria. Mr. Morrison says al-Baghdadi's death is a significant blow to IS and an important step to prevent its resurgence.
We have been involved in a campaign with our allies for many years now to defeat Daesh, and this outcome is a very significant one in that campaign. But I stress, it is not the end of the campaign. This is a many-headed monster with Daesh. And as you cut one off, another one inevitably arises, and we must remain ever vigilant.
US President Donald Trump says the IS leader died after being chased into a dead-end tunnel during the raid at a compound in Idlib and igniting an explosive vest, killing himself and three of his young children. He says al-Baghdadi spent his last moments in fear.
He was whimpering, screaming, and crying. And frankly, I think it's something that should be brought out so that his followers and all of these young kids that want to leave various countries, including the United States, they should see how he died. He didn't die a hero. He died a coward, crying, whimpering, screaming, and bringing three kids with him to die.
Police in Victoria will be able to shoot people if they're using vehicles to purposely run people over. The directive is contained in Victoria Police's new hostile vehicle policy, which allows officers to ram an offending vehicle, use roadblocks, box the vehicle in, or shoot the offender as a last resort. Deputy Commissioner Shane Patton says the policy explicitly states that police are expected to take action to prevent members of the public from being killed or seriously hurt when a vehicle attack occurs. Victoria is the first jurisdiction in the nation to have a specific policy on responding to such attacks. The Victorian Aboriginal Legal Service has joined a coalition of community groups calling for more resources to be provided for Victoria's police corruption watchdog to investigate allegations of serious police misconduct. The group says recent cases show the need for greater accountability, including an incident which resulted in Aboriginal man Ethan Cruz being awarded $400,000 in damages in August for what a judge described as a cowardly and brutal attack by police officers during a counter-terrorism raid in Melbourne. The chief executive of the Victorian Aboriginal Legal Service, Narita Waite, says it's important resources are provided for an independent investigation of police to ensure misconduct is not repeated. More than 240 scientists have penned an open letter to Prime Minister Scott Morrison urging him to strengthen Australia's environment laws in a forthcoming review. The scientists argue the current laws are failing to protect the environment because they are too weak. They point to extinction rates for native animals, warning that another 17 species could die out over the next two decades. An independent review of the Environment Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act is due to begin by the end of this month and will be the first review of Australia's environment laws in a decade. And to sport in tennis, Ashley Barty is on track to end the year as world number one after a performance at the WTA Tour Finals. The Australian beat Belinda Bencic in three sets 5-7, 6-1, 6-2 in her opening match of the tournament. Unless disaster strikes and she cannot walk on court again this week and Carolina Pliskova takes the title, Barty's gritty win has sealed the 23-year-old's place in tennis history. The French Open champion would be the first Australian woman to finish a season in the top spot since rankings were introduced in 1973. And in rugby, South Africa is preparing to meet England in its third World Cup final in Japan. It comes after the Springboks narrowly defeated Wales 19 points to 16 in the semi-finals in Yokohama. South African coach Razzie Erasmus has praised his side for its resilience against the Welsh, but says it will have to play even better to win the World Cup.
There's definitely some areas in our game which must improve if we want to win. But we've given ourselves a chance. We've played England four times in the last 18 months. I think it's 2-2. It is 2-2. The three test matches in South Africa and then the last one at Twickenham. So we're accustomed with the way they play.
And now a look at today's weather. In Perth, partly cloudy 25. Adelaide, sunny 25. Melbourne, partly cloudy 23. Hobart also partly cloudy 19, Canberra sunny 24, Wollongong partly cloudy 20, similar for Sydney 23, same for Newcastle. Brisbane possible shower 27, Cairns mostly sunny 31, and Darwin shower or two, possible storm 32. This is NITV Radio News.